Hi, this is Debbie Voiles, coach at Mojo for Running, with episode number 74, My Whole Story, Mojo, Run Tampa, and More. Welcome to the podcast for all runners of all levels. Whether you're training for 5Ks or marathons, there's something for you. I love it when you email me with questions, comments, and suggestions. The best thing about podcasting is that I get to interact with runners all over the world. And after all, runners are the best people in the world. Before we get into the content today, I'm excited to announce that I can now offer a free one-month trial membership to Audible.com. I've been an Audible member and listening to their audiobooks for years. Not sure how many, but I've probably listened to 100 books. I'm happy to be able to offer you a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at www.audibletrial.com/mojo. They have over 150,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. I just finished listening to Wild by Cheryl Strayed, about a woman, a totally inexperienced backpacker, who travels the full length of the Pacific Crest Trail. It's a true story, the amazing story of how that trek changed her life. It is now out as a movie starring Reese Witherspoon. But I wanted to listen to the book first. You know how that goes. The movie is never as good as the book. Anyway, you can get a free 30-day trial and free audiobook download at audibletrial.com/mojo. This podcast will be a bit different from the usual because I'm going to share some personal information. And if you've been listening long, you know I'm not one to chit-chat about what I had for dinner last night or talk about the weather. In this episode, though, I thought I would explain how and why I started Mojo for Running, how it has grown, and my coaching along with it. If you're not interested in that, feel free to pass over this episode. The next episode will return to the usual format. I want to give you a bit of background of Mojo for Running and a peek into the future. I hope you'll contact me if you have input or questions or even comments. If you're a regular listener, you know that this podcast does not come out as regularly as some do. But I have been doing it a very long time, around 6 years, but I'm not sure. I became an RRCA certified running coach back around 2007. And as I sat in that class, I was knocked out, amazed at how much I learned about running and training that I didn't already know. And I'm talking about critical information that had an immediate impact on my running, despite the fact that at that time I had already been running for 30 years and had had my own running coach for the last two years prior to that. During most of that time, I was either going to school myself to become an English teacher or teaching high school English and coaching the swim team or advising the yearbook and raising my own family. I started running in the late 70s after my daughter Wendy was born to help me lose the baby weight. I had always been athletic and grew up on a swim team, but had never experienced success with running, not any. Growing up, every time I ran, I would get such an excruciating pain in my side that I'd have to stop. In the late 70s, my brother Milt was one of the first people in the state of Florida to do an Ironman triathlon. Actually, now I'm thinking it might have been around the early 80s. I'm not sure of the date. He did the original, the Hawaiian Ironman, 9 times, starting in the first couple of years after that race existed, back when that was the only Ironman, back when Valerie Silk was the race director. Milt was a swimmer, too, so we had that background in common. Anyway, after Wendy was born, with Milt as a role model and advisor, I started running and found that I was able to do so successfully for the first time. There was a reason for that. I started off incredibly slowly, realizing that in school, when I ran, it was only in PE class and only when the coaches made us run. And I realized they did not know how to coach us in running and made no effort to do so. In fact, they didn't know coach us on how to run at all. They just said, do it. They would say something like, run around the softball field 3 times. That was about it. My point is that they left out one very critical piece of information, the need to warm up very gradually. That missing piece of information doomed my running for all those years, and I thought I hated it. Who knew? When I tried running again in my 20s, I found out that a good, long, gradual warm-up made all the difference. Back then, Milt was getting his degree in exercise physiology, so he always was my teacher with sage advice. I have had that same pain numerous times since then, but now I know it's what runners call a stitch, a cramp or something similar to a cramp in the diaphragm. It's related to breathing. Now I know that in most cases, it's caused by running too hard too quickly without enough warm-up. At least that's always the culprit with me. If I get a stitch these days, it's always when I race, and for whatever reason, I don't get to do an appropriate warm-up. I always get to races super early, but once in a while, an inconsiderate, or more likely, inexperienced race director doesn't provide enough porta-potties, causing me to spend time that should have been spent warming up in a potty line. I think race directors think that people will have plenty of time if they just get to the race early enough, but that's not right. Those race directors don't consider that no matter how many people are at a race, they'll all want to use the porta-potties during the same 30-minute period, and it matters not how early those runners got there. Or another situation is when a race doesn't have enough volunteers and, like happened to me recently, the line for race day packet pickup was so long that I missed my warm-up entirely because I was in line for a full half hour to get my race packet. Anyway, what I want you to know is that when I have control over the situation, I'm always going to do a very slow and gradual warm-up, and I will basically I'll never get a stitch in those situations. That's one reason I do this podcast. I want to share that kind of information with people, but I digress. Anyway, once I got started running, I discovered that I loved it. There wasn't much of a pattern to my training, though. I just ran a few miles on most days. That was back when the running boom was just starting. There weren't many races, and there were typically just two race distances, 10K and marathon. After my son Ben was born, I continued running, and before long, Milt talked me into doing a sprint triathlon. In my first one, I placed in my age group. By then, I had done enough road races to know that I was not fast at running, at least not then, just a middle-of-the-pack runner. And of course, there's nothing wrong with that. However, I discovered that despite almost no swimming training, due to lack of time, my background in swimming gave me a huge edge, and I still did pretty well in those triathlons. I was immediately hooked on triathlons and did about a dozen over the next couple of years, even serving on the board of the first local triathlon club, Team Tampa Triathletes. At the time, I was also back in college finishing my degree. Once I did, I started teaching, and between teaching, raising my family, and coaching, I managed to keep running to maintain my fitness, but I only did occasional races. I ended up actually taking a 25-year hiatus from triathlons, and I returned to them about 10 years ago. That's still not my main thing because I just far prefer running, but I do enjoy keeping my foot in the door of that sport, or maybe I should say my toe in the water. And I still do very little swimming, but the years that I swam as a kid still keep me competitive when I do race. Back to the start of Mojo. After I became a certified coach, I felt compelled to get that information out there to more runners. At the time, I was also dabbling in Twitter, and I kept seeing people post their updates about their progress with Couch to 5K. People often posted that they had finished the program, they enjoyed running, but they didn't know what to do next. That's when I wrote my book, After Your First 5K. That actually takes runners from their first 5K through their first half marathon. If you've looked for that book, and I did used to mention it often on my podcast, you won't actually find it available anymore anywhere because it's almost out of print. I have about a dozen copies left. I plan to publish a second edition, but time just hasn't allowed for that yet. Anyway, when I published the book, I realized I needed a website to promote it, and that's when I launched mojoforrunning.com. Now, let me step back to provide another piece of information. At about the same time as I became a certified coach, I also started a local website, runtampa.com for the specific purpose of providing a comprehensive online race calendar, because there wasn't one. I started taking many photos at races, too. I would go to a race, and after the race was over, I had my good camera, and I would walk around. I enjoyed seeing all the people who were basking in the glow of having just completed something really exciting, and I would see them grouping up, trying to get a selfie with 5 or 10 friends in it using a cell phone. I would just walk up to them and say, hey, how about if I take your picture with my camera? I'll put it in my slideshow that I'm going to make, and it'll be posted on the runtampa.com website later today. Well, they loved that. And doing that with many groups of people drove great traffic to the website and helped to grow the interest in Run Tampa. Although back then, it was, like I said, just a calendar. It drove amazing traffic to the site, though, and pretty soon local races wanted to buy advertising on the site because that was a way to get in front of exactly the people they wanted to get in front of. Now, if you go there today to runtampa.com, you won't see those slideshows anymore, but what you will see is some pictures of my local Run Tampa club. Not long after I started the calendar, I started hosting local group runs each weekend at different locations around the Tampa Bay area. The group grew and grew and grew. Eventually, I made it into a club, and I'm happy to say that today we have more than 400 dues-paying club members, 3 coaches, over 3,000 people in our Facebook group, and thousands subscribed to our weekly newsletter. This all is tied into Mojo for Running, too. As I was growing Run Tampa, I was also doing the Mojo for Running podcasts. But until about 18 months ago, actually a little bit less than that, when I brought on the first Run Tampa coaches, I was managing the website, doing all the coaching, doing the social media, hosting the group runs, arranging the parties, planning destination races, creating the newsletter, selling club apparel, managing membership, and, well, you get the idea. That's why I've never been able to put out podcasts as often as I'd like. Thankfully, though, I now have a team in place. We call it the Run Tampa Leadership Team, to manage almost all of the Run Tampa activities. I am, of course, still involved as the chairman of the board and owner, but with the team in place, I now have time to give more time to the Mojo for Running community. However, there's another most important element to my coaching life, and that's my parents. Mom and Dad are 86, both in poor health, neither able to walk, both in and out of the hospital. For example, in the last month, my mom had surgery, and my dad was rushed to the ER, where he ended up spending a week in the hospital. Between managing their finances, keeping in daily contact with their caregivers at the small ALF where they live, trying to manage their medications, dealing with their insurance, talking to their doctors, taking them to doctor visits, and so on, much of my time is spent looking after them. When I checked my dad out of the hospital 10 days ago, he was so weak that he couldn't stand. Not only did he have to be fed, he even had to be told to chew. That was a new low. He was more confused than ever and in a stupor almost all the time. When they went over his discharge instructions with me at the hospital, he was on 19 prescriptions. 19, a new high. It struck me at that moment that that was the reason for his current condition. He was severely over-medicated. I've spent much of the time since then talking to the pharmacist, trying to get to talk to his doctor, researching medicines online, documenting, studying, and so on. We have him off of 7 of those meds, and I'm happy to say he is much more alert, but this will be a long process. I tell you this because it's all part of the Mojo for Running story. While I love Mojo for Running, am committed to my listeners, and am anxious to get the podcast out more often, my parents are my priority, and sometimes what I expect to do is completely overruled by what they need. I hope all my listeners understand this. I'm always trying to keep all the balls in the air as regards Run Tampa, my parents, and Mojo for Running. I've rounded a corner with Run Tampa. The club is growing and thriving. My leadership team is amazing. Their enthusiasm matches my own, and they share my vision. Interestingly, most of Run Tampa doesn't know about Mojo for Running. They don't know anything about it. And of course, most Mojo for Running listeners wouldn't know about Run Tampa unless you've read the articles about us in Competitor Magazine and Running Journal, or read articles penned by myself or my coaches in Florida Running and Triathlon Magazine over the last couple of years. I've been doing this Mojo for Running podcast since around 2009, I'm not sure. But if you look it up on iTunes, you'll see that the oldest date there is February of 2014. That's because in late February of 2014, I moved this podcast from a Squarespace website to a WordPress website. And that's a big deal. Let me explain a little bit. When I record a podcast, I upload it to my website, and then my website feeds it into iTunes. That's the way it works. Until I moved it to WordPress, I had no way of knowing how many people were listening. iTunes doesn't provide podcast producers with any stats. There are ways to get them, but it requires working with other companies such as Libsyn or Blueberry. In February of last year, I moved this podcast to a new WordPress platform, and that enabled me to start utilizing Blueberry's podcast statistics. I can now tell you that this podcast has been downloaded over 100,000 times in 117 countries, and that's just in the last year. I can only guess how many times it's been downloaded since its inception. If you've been listening for a while, you know that 9 months ago, I launched Mojo for Running training programs through my Mojo for Running website. Each program has an associated Facebook group just for the members of that program, where I interact with the members, answering questions and providing encouragement. And, of course, everybody gets weekly schedules that tell them exactly what to do as far as running training, when to rest, what exercises to do, and cross-training. And that's very specific to each program, each day. While the first two of those programs are online and open, the Walk to Run program, which, by the way, was originally called the Beginner Runner Village program, and the First 5K program, I haven't done a full-blown launch yet of anything because the first 10K and first half marathon programs are not even open yet. I had thought they would be months ago, but time just hasn't allowed it. Now that I have a full Run Tampa leadership team in place, I should be able to get the other two open very soon. There's been a huge benefit, though, to the gradual rollout of the program. It has been great to work with a small number during the past few months because that's provided me with feedback and allowed me to get the kinks worked out. That's it. Now you have the big picture. I hope you have a better understanding of Mojo for Running and of particularly why the podcast doesn't come out as consistently as it might. Hopefully, that will change in the very near future. As Paul Harvey would say, now you know the rest of the story. If you're disappointed that this podcast, this episode, departed from the usual training information, I'm sorry. But I thought it might be helpful for you to have a bit of background. Next time, I have another listener question to answer, and this podcast will return to the usual format. Today, I received questions from two listeners. Dan H. had a question about swimming for beginners, and Dana B. had a question about pain in her hip flexors. I just love those emails, although I don't always respond as quickly as I'd like for the above-mentioned reasons. Please bear with me, because I get a lot of email, and of course, I would never hand these questions over to an assistant to answer. I will likely turn both of the answers to those questions into future podcast episodes. If you've never listened to a book on your smartphone, I hope you'll check out the free Audible trial you can get by going to audibletrial.com/mojo. Honestly, I have my next book queued up and ready for listening on my iPhone right now, and it's part of what motivates me to get out there. I think you'll discover the same thing. Now, today's quote. I did not wish to take a cabin passage, but rather to go before the mast and on the deck of the world, for there I could best see the moonlight amid the mountains. Of course, that's Thoreau.